Alumni Talk. Alumni Talk. The time has come to engage in conversations that are yet to be heard. Yet to be heard. While unearthing unique stories about those who are ready to share their stories to inspire and educate you. And educate you. Get ready as we dive deeper into the lives of TUT exceptional alumni. From the heartbeat of Pitori to the world. This is Alumni Talk.
A very good evening to you and welcome to Alumni Talk at Tshwane FM 93.6. My name is Hlaolo V. Davids and I'm with the one and only Malisele Hlakodi. We are back to give you more of what you like, bringing back alumni to their alma mater right here at Tshwane FM 93.6. Cape City's number one. We're saying we are unearthing unique stories from the heartbeat of Pretoria to the world. How are you doing, Malisele, tonight? I'm doing well, and I'm very happy to be back in this very same station just after a very historical day of elections. People were out in numbers doing what they're doing, and we can see the results are, you know, being casted.
Did you vote? And,
come on. I mean, we spoke about this here and
I just wanted to make sure.
No, I made sure that I don't disappoint you and I don't disappoint fellow youth. I don't disappoint South Africa itself or this province itself and not disappoint myself that I can have a right to complain should things don't go right.
Well done.
So, like we're saying, we are unearthing those unique stories. And our guest tonight is Thembi Sositole, who is a qualified journalist, lecturer, social media and digital specialist. He has vast experience in broadcasting, print, online and social media. He is credited for integrating social media and digital media in some of South Africa's newsrooms, such as the Mail and Guardian, the Star newspaper, Newsroom Africa, the SABC News, the Current Affairs Department. Sositole holds a national diploma in journalism from the Tshwane University of Technology. He holds a BA honors degree from Wits. Sositole Express, as he is affectionately known on Twitter, has recently obtained a master's degree in communications from the Northwest University. So this guy is not really playing, Malisele. So if you want to join the conversation, find us on social media. We are Tshwane FM 93.6 across all social media platforms. Hlaolo V. Davids across all social media platforms. Alumni, TET Alumni across all social media platforms. You can use the hashtag Alumni Talk to get hold of us and to reach us, or use the WhatsApp line. It's 012-382-4936. Malisele is not going to jump on me on this one today because, hey, I got my numbers right on the spot tonight, right? So, before anything, you know how we like to do things before we introduce our guests. This is how we do things. We follow alumni success stories.
Follow alumni success. Follow alumni success.
Congratulations to TUT Academic in Hospitality Management Sharon Mukula, who has also received a prestigious Visiting Researcher Award at North Carolina Central University in the U.S. Sharon is also currently pursuing her PhD in Hospitality Management, focusing on developing a comprehensive framework for the effective management and provision of hospitality learnerships in South Africa. We're also congratulating a TUT Performing Arts alumna, Nkululeko Innocent Masuku, who has advanced to the finals of this year's Britain's Got Talent for his opera music audition on Britain's Got Talent. Here is his full audition courtesy of BGT YouTube.
And just a moment of clarity, it's actually the semi-finals now, right?
Oh, really?
It's the semi-finals now. So here is his semi-finals performance.
Era dentro te soltanto un sogno, ma presto il sogno sarà realtà. Ora crescerà.
I'm not quite sure if we have to clap for him from the studio ourselves. Mm. I think the audience in the UK managed to do that clapping for Innocent. You were about to clap.
Yeah.
Ah, man. Why do you want to clap? Like, why do you have to clap? Okay, clap for him then.
Yay!
So, this performance sent him to the finals, right? Mm-hmm. He's going to be performing in the finals next week, Monday. That will be the 3rd of June. So we hope that he brings it home, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, that's not the only thing that happened to him since the last time we heard from him, from his audition and going through to the semifinals.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, between... I think that was on the 25th of April when we got to, like, know about him.
Yeah.
And now he has gotten married.
Married?
Yeah, so he got married. He's a married man now. He has a wife now.
Eh.
And his wife was just there cheering and just looking at him like, oh, wow, my man.
He's mine.
So we are moving to our guest right now. His name is Sithembi Sosithole. We'll be trying to get him on the line with us, you know, to talk to us about, you know, his work as... a social media specialist, but also walking this journey with him, a journey where he studied in TUT and, you know, and yeah, you know, that's what we'll be doing tonight. So we are ready to talk to him. And I think that we are going to learn a lot. For those who want to join, who want to be on social media, I think they'll be able to hear a lot from him. And we do have Tembiso on the line. Tembiso, good evening and welcome to Alumni Talk. How are you doing tonight?
I'm well. Good evening. Evening, and thank you for hosting me today.
Thank you for making time for us as well. We know that you have a very busy schedule, given, you know, the amount of work that you do and the type of job that you have.
Mm.
It's election time. You must be a very busy man and you must be tired right now.
Crazy day. Officially, the IEC, they've reached the 300 million mark of the votes. So yeah, that is keeping me busy, but I'm here.
Thank you so much for joining us. So it's Alumni Talk. We are about to, you know, profile and get to know you more. We don't just want to discuss your career or profile your career. We want to know where it all started, you know, from you being a journalism student at the University of Technology and, you know, to where you are right now. So let's dive into your journey, you know, the journey you had with us here at TUT, you know, studying journalism. How was it for you?
Let me tell you, TUT is the people's university. Mm. It empowers people. And I'm proud to say I'm one of the people who benefited from the university. And my journey, you know, was really, really incredible because I'm from Soweto. That's where I was born. And I got accepted in different universities. And when I then, of course, got a chance to go and study at TUT, that for me was amazing. And I must say, on my first year, I was able to really start writing and really participating at TTFM and other radio stations in between, and writing for local radio platforms, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, radio blogs and being on radio in between and online platforms. That experience for me was great. And in that short space of time, I was awarded that award of being a code getter. And for me... The university was gave me the platform. It was a nice combination of me being an ambitious student,
yeah,
and at the same time navigating around Mabopane and Soshanguve looking for stories. So the journey was really amazing, one would say.
Mm. So what actually inspired you to choose journalism, to study journalism? Has it always been a dream or what?
I think it has always been something that I wanted to do, a dream, you know. Mm. I grew up listening to Buthulani Gwala, the late. I grew up, watching Obabu Vuyo Mbuli, the late, and Leon Menas. And I grew up from a space whereby my grandmother, when I came back from school, she would literally make me sit down before doing anything and say, read, and she had all kind of newspapers from Afrikaans, Zulu, and all of that, English. And she would say, just pick one article, read it, and let's discuss. Mm. And that's when my journalism started. And when then I then got a chance later to work with the likes of Glenn Gwala, William Vogue, Leon Menas, that was a dream come true in that short space of time.
It was one of those, like, it's like you're meeting them in a story, covering your story as a student, and then these are the people that I used to see on TV. Oh, these are the people that I used to read about, you know, to read their stories. Mm. And then now you are working with them. Like, it must have been something very, you know, touching to you. Like, you know, how did you make of that?
Pardon?
You know, being able to, like, you know, share a newsroom with some of the people that you used to sort of like read their articles, or people who inspired you to, you know, walk this journey of journalism. How was it for you to share a newsroom with them at last?
Tell you what, the experience was amazing. Like I said, I started working while I was still studying at TT, 3 months being a first year student.
Yeah.
And in between that, I got that chance to now literally work with them. I remember I was actually, we'll talk later about the that I just obtained.
Mm.
But remembering as I was leaving the Northwest University last week,
mm-hmm.
of how I was leaving, and when after graduating at TUT, immediately I had to say goodbye to my mom because she was rushing to the airport.
Mm.
And when I went to the international airport by Ortambo, Vuyomvogo was the person I was supposed to be on the same flight.
Mm.
And I missed it. He was already on the other side of the till. And he said, no, don't worry, Joby. I'll wait for you at Oshaga International Airport. And I'm narrating this story on the ground to say, these are the people that I grew up watching. And for me now to be working with them at the close range, we're talking about the election, the previous elections. I was at the IEC Center there in Pretoria.
Mm.
And I was with Leanne Sakina. That feeling for me, it was affirmation that the People's University and the journalism department
mm.
actually really did open doors for me. And for me, that affirmed that actually I'm on track, one would say.
Yeah. Now, what were some of the things that you learned about yourself when you were studying in this institution?
One of the things I learned was that I have that passion, you know, chose the right course,
mm.
or it chose me, one would say. And the spirit of always being eager to win.
Mm-hmm.
I remember there's a blog, a credit to the former lecturer there, the TT's, Pumelelo Zondi,
yeah.
who had the blog called Journalism Gentile. Literally, when school closed, I never closed. When people, after each class lecture, they would go to their rest, I would still be working. And that led to me having over 40 articles published at Gentile. I was the only student. Record wow. Norwich had many fan pages in between. And what I'm trying to get at is that for me was working hard. That's one thing that kept me going in between, because I had that mandate. And I always say this, equalification is on Tola Pambi.
Mm.
Would you say that, you know, for some of, you know, alumni and also, you know, the students who are pursuing their journalism qualification right now, be it first year, second year or third year, would you advise them to, you know, to start early and say, you know what, the qualification will just be, you know, a validation to what I've already achieved?
I'll tell you, newsrooms are being prized. And what do I mean by that? Meaning newsrooms are getting young people who are literally junior, you know, straight from varsity, you get to the newsroom,
mm.
you get trained of that, of which that's good. Sometimes there's no training, just hit the ground running.
Yeah.
Had I not started at that time, being a first year, writing for the Star newspaper,
mm-hmm.
going to TFM, writing for Record Noweto, and doing all those things that I did, and literally covering the elections, the local government elections, working
mm-hmm.
for Mabopane, mm-hmm. I don't think, had I not done that, I wouldn't be where I am. So to answer your question, it's very important to start at the young age. I became the youngest editor at the Star, at the Million Guardian,
mm.
Social media editor when social media was starting. And I'm trying to say it's very important to take your craft at the young age and at the start, and being intentional.
Mm.
And being intentional to have a time frame, a mission, and execute it.
Yeah.
Now, you've mentioned your love for reading and how you started reading from a very young age, how your mother used to buy newspapers. What are some of the skills that you acquired from studying journalism?
I think one of the skills that I acquired was being able to assess
mm.
situation, do more research, and read the mood in the room.
Mm.
And also, most importantly, confidence. I think it's something that we, of course, you develop or you're born with, you get. Mm. But being in a position of doing things, being punctual, putting things in order, you are able to be confident in terms of your deliverance. So that's what I was able to learn throughout my years. And also to trust yourself. I mean, I'm turning 32. And that for me, when I look back, the thing that I was able to achieve, and I'm saying this from a point of maybe inspiring and sharing with the next person who wants to do the same thing or do much better than me. That when I look into that, for me, those are the lessons to say, have confidence, assess the situation, be intentional, one would say.
Wow, that's amazing. It's exactly 20 minutes after the hour 6. You are tuning to Alumni Talk at Tswana FM 93.6. I'm Hlaolo V. Davids. I'm with Malisele Hlakudi. We are in conversation unearthing those unique stories with the one and only social media specialist Sithembiso Sithole, who is telling us more about his journey with TUT, and soon we'll be getting into his, you know, career as a social media expert. You know, you mentioned a lot of things about, you know, being in different newsrooms. You know, would you say, you know, looking at your portfolio itself, you know, working in different newsrooms like your SABC, Newsroom Africa, The Star, Mail and Guardian, you were an editor there. Would you say, you know, because journalism in TET is very broad, would you say it's the reason why you managed to, you know, be in this different kind of newsroom, be it newspapers and TV?
I think being intentional was one of the key things that I always had, and that's why I use that phrase.
Yeah.
Qualification.
Yeah.
So when I started, when we're doing TT, writing for the local newspapers and national papers, there was that sentiment that I would probably be a print journalist because I was fond of print, and that is because that's what I used to read when I come back from home. Yeah. And there was that trend doing radio and all of that. But interestingly enough, when I was on my second to third year, the rise of social media was starting, and people were fascinated by this new phenomenon. Mm. What is the social media? And then I was intentional and deliberate to say, I'm going to research more about this social media, its impact in terms of citizen journalism, its impact in of journalism broadly and communication. And then when I found that niche, I'm going to specialize in that. Mm. And that's what paved the way for me when I joined the SABC as a digital news producer. And being the youngest social media editor, second at the Mail and Guardian, but first in the country. Mm. That for me then was sort of like, it channeled me to be specific and intentional. And that led to me also doing my academic papers, which focus on social media. Mm. That for me helped me to specialize. And I think that's why we're having this conversation today.
Wow.
Now, how was the journey from when you started researching about social media and ending up being one of the biggest in the room when coming to social media, being a social media specialist? How was the journey?
I think it was really interesting because you would understand that at TET, we were taught practicals and there was theory.
Yeah.
Mm. And that's what makes TET different. You recall even back in the day, still now, the TET still regarded, Tswana University of Technology, still regarded as one of the best, particularly the Faculty of Humanities, when it comes to producing excellence. Mm. And newsrooms are known for that you get a TET student, it's a quick win. They're fast-paced, they learn, they're on point. And that's that. So then having had those practicals, then I had to, of course, go to VET, which I then did my BA honors. And my BA honors, my research was on the utilization of social media by the Mail and Guardian 8 years ago when they started. And my research was focusing on, did the Mail and Guardian have a social media strategy? Mm. Did they have a policy? Did they have plans, or did they just ride on this phenomenal social media? And the findings were really interesting that some of the editors, they were just exploring, but later on they found their feet. I just completed my master's at the Northwest University, and my topic was on social media usage for audience interaction, audience support, a case study of Zaziwa, a television show. All of us know that television show on SABC1.
Yeah.
And I was looking to how audiences interact, the build-up before. You know, for example, before we went on air, Samuel, you posted this interview, the social media board.
Yeah.
That was intended to hook audiences for them to kind of tune in. And when I joined the SABC and Newsroom Africa, setting up that digital department, it was based on that. How do we use social media, that viewer appointment. So to answer your question, that journey has been interesting. The research is really showing that we are moving with times. Mm. Gone are the days where you listen to radio alone or watch the 7:30 news in your space. Now you're watching all those shows, listening to to 20 FM, TT FM, all those radio stations while you are connected on your social media platforms, one would say.
Mm. Oh, amazing stuff. You know, we dwelled into your career as you know, as an academic and as a student as well. You're not just that. Let's move away a little bit from social media just for a second. You are a lecturer, and you've worked here at, you know, at TUT, at the journalism department, right? And what I want to know, you know, at the time when you were there, how did you empower your students?
Yeah, thank you so much for that. Interesting. So I had I always had a good relationship with Tshwane University of Technology, and I believe that is one relationship I always cherish, because it's this university that gave me an opportunity to be who I am. It's this university that paved the way on my second year, taking me to Rhodes University on that short scholarship. And it's this university that made things happen for me. And not only me, but also the people around me. So me coming back as a part-time lecturer, editorial management, reporting, was really good, because the people I was lecturing were way older than me. And what is interesting is those very individuals were editors, even today, in their own right, in respected newsrooms.
Mm.
And for me to stand there, to give them lecture and assignments and the tests, that was great. And that, I then had to then now find myself where I had to empower them in terms of working when it comes to research. And also, there are those, of course, who I might have not lectured them directly, but because I was within the vicinity, opportunities in terms of internships, opportunities in terms of career guidance,
yeah,
opportunities in terms of mentorship in the industry.
Yeah.
That, for me, was the biggest highlight, because I was able to engage with them directly. And then, of course, similar approach when I was in Boston as a lecturer there. That was, for me, even today, I'm still in contact with those journalism students whom, mm, whenever opportunities in the media industry, I still email Dr. Odinda, Mr. McCarty, and Charlene.
Yeah. Wow. Now, you've just mentioned how you empowered your students. How did TUT empower you?
I think TUT empowered me from a point of, I was a go-getter of the year on my first year, that award.
Mm.
I was part of the, actually, interesting enough, when I went to Vets University after I'd left TUT, and I completed my BA honors, I went back to TUT, and my argument to the journalism department and the faculty was to say, you get a student who will have a diploma,
mm,
but when they need to go to, they have ambition to do their honors, and I knew at TUT there was a BTEC,
mm,
but after doing the BTEC, they still have to go to Vets. They still have to go to this traditional university and start from scratch or do these courses, because I had to do a bridging course. And my argument then was to say, TUT, we need to move from that direction where we have what we have today, advanced diploma, where you can literally compete with the student from Vets.
Mm.
You can compete with the student from Rhodes. You don't have to now do your diploma and still now go to another course to survive and to maneuver around. So in that context, TUT then empowered me to be part of the master's and the doctorate panel, review panel for that. So today we have what we call advanced journalism, advanced diploma,
mm-hmm,
master's, because they allowed me to be part of that panel to voice my views. And that two-day session paved the way to what we have today, what we call advanced diploma.
Mm. Oh, amazing. And then now, briefly, before we get to the news, Stembi, so that we can also continue with your career as a social media expert, you used to come back to the university even before you became, a lecturer. I think the first time I got to see you, I was a first-year student, if not a second-year student, between 2015 and 2016. And there was what we call SJA. And then you came to give a talk. Like, how did it feel to come back to, alma mater and just, impart some of the knowledge that you have?
No. Briefly, before we go to your 6:30 headlines, it was great because that for me was a stamp to simply say you're back home, you're giving back, and I'm happy that you and I met then. 5 years or 10 years later, we are here.
Wow, amazing. Let's get to the news with Mutabi Pakwe.
Covering all sides of the story, this is Tshwane FM News.
Top story this hour. The IEC blames third ballot for slower results finalization. With the latest news on the capital city in the world, I am Mutabi Pakwe. Good evening. The Electoral Commission has attributed the slower finalization of election results to addition of a third ballot, particularly affecting metropolitan areas. Historically, 80% of results will be finalized within the first 24 hours, but the third ballot has slowed this process. Despite the delay, the IEC is working to ensure accuracy and validation through comprehensive checks and audits. Chief Electoral Officer Sey Mamabolo remains confident that the results will be finalized within the prescribed 7-day period.
The quantum to come at those stations is influenced by the fact that there's a high turnout. So when in the past it would have taken, let's say, 2 hours to conclude the counting, in the present case it would take 3.5 hours and so on. I presume that at this stage the counting process may in fact be concluded.
Moving on, the Umkhonto weSizwe party has ruled out going into a collision with the African National Congress and the Democratic Alliance. Former President Jacob Zuma's party looks set to lead the KwaZulu-Natal legislature. MK has won support in the rural parts of KZN, while votes for the urban areas have not been counted yet. Zuma's daughter, Duduzile Zuma Sambula, mentioned that there is a possibility that the party could work with EFF.
When President Zuma made the announcement December 16, he spoke about working with progressive black parties. So that's where we stand. As long as you're wanting land back, nationalization. Well, this is where we go look for the progressive black parties, which we've had discussions with from last year already. So we'll go back to the table and we'll just see how we work.
In other news, the U.S. has opposed a United Nations Security Council resolution calling for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza and an end to Israeli military actions in Rafah, deeming it unhelpful. Algeria, representing Arab countries, drafted the resolution following emergency talks on the Israeli operation. The draft demands the opening of all borders crossing and humanitarian access to Gaza. U.S. Deputy Ambassador Robert Wood emphasized the pause in the fighting must be first secured.
We have urged Israel to do more to protect Palestinian lives. As we have said before, Israel has a right to defend itself against Hamas, but Israel also has obligations to protect civilians. Colleagues, we continue to believe there are alternatives to a major operation that would better advance Israel's goal of the enduring defeat of Hamas and also protect Palestinians.
Moving on to the financial indicators, the dollar trades at 18 rand 59 cents and the euro at 20 rand 14 cents. One British pound costs 23 rand 66 cents and Bitcoin trades at $68,605.10. Gold sells at $2,350.28 a fine ounce. And Brent crude oil is quoted at $83.06 a barrel. Taking a look at the weather this evening, Pretoria is mostly clear with a high of 22 and a low of 9, and it is currently at 18 degrees Celsius. Clear conditions will continue all evening, wind gusts are up to 17 kilometers per hour. Johannesburg is clear conditions as well with a high of 21 degrees Celsius and a low of 8 degrees Celsius, and it is currently at 16 degrees Celsius. Cloudy conditions will continue all night with wind gusts up to 24 kilometers per hour. Your top story this hour, IEC blames third ballot for slower results finalization. Stay tuned to Tshwane FM for more stories and updates throughout the day. For Tshwane FM News, I am Mutabi Pakwe. Good evening.
Covering all sides of the story, this is Tshwane FM News.
Are you a TET alumni with a story to tell that could inspire a fellow alumni or students? Feel free to share with us your story and we could feature you on our social media platforms, TET website, Arbit, newsletter, magazine or alumni talk. Tell us about your career, the great things that you've accomplished since graduating at TET or the technicon you attended before the major. If you've published a book, started a business or invented a product, we want to know all about it and how TET helped you to get there. Submit your story of 250 words or less along with a high-resolution photo to alumni at TET. t.ac.za. Don't forget to add the following information: your name and surname, graduation year, degree or diploma, cell phone number.
Tshwane FM News.
Tshwane FM. Rocking Pitori hits like no one else. Here's another hit. From Pitori to the world.
Welcome back. You're still tuning into Alumni Talk at Tshwane FM 93.6. We are in conversation with the one and only Thembi Sositole, our social media expert. You know, it sounds so nice to say that, you know, like, hey, I wish it was me. But yeah, maybe one day, in my next lifetime. Thembi, so?
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, it's you do better than me.
No, I take that.
I'm only 2 years. I know, of course, I'm your scene in terms of TT, but you'll do well. Just take it. I'm paving the way for you.
No, thank you. Really appreciate that. It's exactly 25 minutes before the hour 7. It's Alumni Talk at Tshwane FM 93.6. Tlalo V Dive. It's Amalasele Hlakodi in conversation with the social media expert. His name is Thembi Sositole. He's a social media specialist. He's an expert as well. So, specialist, expert. It's the same thing. I think when I read the articles where they quoted him, they quote him as an expert. So let's move along with that. I think 2016, there was an article that he did as well, I think with the Citizen newspaper as well. They were talking about, you know, how to identify fake Facebook accounts. Mm-hmm. And that's when I was like, oh, we're getting into something here. Like, we're getting to learn a lot of things. Mm-hmm. So if you don't know how to identify one, Malisele, I think I must share that link with you so that you can read and then get to know his thoughts and views on how to, you know, spot one. But right now we're getting into that topic where you are a social media, you know, expert, a social media manager. Walk us through your journey into becoming a social media manager and how your academic background journey helped you to get there.
Thank you so much for that. I think we should start by this part to say, social media is not here to kill journalism. Social media is here to enhance journalism. Mm. And the opportunity that social media has done, it has created what we call content creators in terms of the influencer world and a PR agency world. Mm-hmm. But in journalism, it has created a space where we call a digital producer, an online producer. Mm. That's what this journalism, which we call online, digital, and social media, has created. And what that meant was that I had to manage the SABC social media platforms, which were Twitter, Facebook, and then in terms of creating and posting news on those platforms, because now we're moving with times that people are now getting news on their phones. It's similar with the Million Guardian. When the Kantlanhlo stories broke, people were the first to get it on their mobile phones simply because of social media. And my role and responsibility as a social media editor and manager in some context as well, mm-hmm. was to then make sure that the website is always up to date, but at the same time that the news and the stories are always updated in those platforms. Mm-hmm. So that you then get as a social media manager. And I still, of course, have still making those submissions to the Faculty of Humanities to say, we need those kind of curriculum that speaks to that. Mm. So that we don't only flock in print, we don't only flock in on radio and TV journalism, mm. but we also enhance that. And that then led to me now saying, okay, so if there's this position of a social media editor, social media manager, mm. do these newsrooms editors understand this role? So when they hire you in HR, what is the KPI? What score do they use to measure your performance? Mm. And that led to me now doing this academic research, which I did at the Vets and later on at the Northwest University, yeah. because I wanted to establish as to how do we then, when you have Tlamolo, how do we then, as a social media manager, how do we then measure his work? The experience has been great, and I'm pleased to announce that I'll be doing my PhD with the Tshwane University of Technology
wow.
next year.
Welcome back home. Welcome back
for
home.
That. And I'm already working on my PhD proposal. I already have four.
Wow. Amazing stuffs.
I guess that's when we say poo 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 poo. That's yay. What the sound is.
Yeah. We actually gave you one.
Yeah. Thank you so much for that lighter moment. So yeah. What I'm trying to get at is the reason why I'm intending to do my PhD with TUT and the Faculty of Humanities, the Journalism Department and Integrated Communication.
Yeah.
It's simply because I want to investigate certain aspects that has to do with journalism, that has to do with communication, that has to do with social media, that has to do with audience traction. And of course, I can't talk much about the topic, but I'm hooking that topic. And now that's that. So that's when you realize, when you say a social media specialist, I'm specializing in social media, a social media expert, because I'm an expert in that investigation. In between another. And for me, it's to say, we need more research coming from the journalism department, from the communication department, that specifically in particular speak to social media, digital media, and the future of communication.
Wow.
Do I jump in now?
Yeah. And I'm learning a lot of things, you know, like I'm learning. Yeah, so, yeah, that's why we need to give a hand.
You might be an expert, Luena.
Yeah, I might be one.
Now, you've been in the social media space for a very long time. And I just want to know, what are the biggest challenges you face when managing social media for a news channel?
I think one... when I was working at Newsroom Africa, Newsroom Africa was a fairly new station, channel which is exceptionally doing well in its fifth year. And one of the mandates that I was tasked to do was to develop a solid social media strategy for them in terms of attracting new audiences and making sure that the content is there. You'll recall and remember that at the time, they were new, and remember the content, they were not allowed to stream it online in terms of streaming what is already there. But how do you then make a viewer appointment with the audience to make sure that people are eager to listen to the bulletin, watch the bulletin, and actually push through in this part to make sure that people actually watch, but at the same time they engage. So one of the challenges was understanding the audience. What is the objective of the station? Who are they communicating with? And also making sure that you keep their content running, you know, in between. And then, of course, managing people. You know, I think for me that was one of the challenges. A good challenge where one has to, you develop the skill set, you manage, and at the same time, you sort of like find ways to get everyone to be fast-paced. I speak fast, and that is because of my thinking. I'm here, but mentally I'm no longer here because I'm far ahead. But how do you adjust that, being calm and getting your point across? So one of the challenges was always being on top. You know, there was an era where we were just breaking news in the social media space. But moving from that point to say, I might not be the first to break it, but I'm first to give you context. Or maybe I might be the first to break a story, but giving you full details later. So those have been some of the challenges in between. Good challenges in between, but of course, we're moving with times. How we used to do stories during the Oscar Pistorius when he allegedly shot River. Breaking that story, how Bild was, wrote it in Afrikaans, translated it in English, the impact that it had. But also at the same time, how do you make sure you still target them, you know, because it's not only a medium in English, you know. How do you write the content to speak to someone who talks Haman Skral or the election, you know? Yeah, my period has went bad, but yeah.
Is that moment where you have to apply Fanvex English, you know?
You know, and what you say, you know, when you say that, Tamulo and my colleague there,
yeah,
I passed Pedi go TT properly,
but
I moved to Shangu, I mean Soweto. And you know, so you meet you get a lot of people. So I had, then they mess up your speed. But I had a nice mfatlushi. Taught me proper speed because I would give her 10 words in English on Sundays, and I would ask her to translate them for me. Kasi pedi.
Yeah.
That was because we had that pedi class on Mondays, and so I to bulela sipedi lena la ka ke restole
thobela yebo jobe. You know what, you know, and she was very strict, you know, she didn't want anyone to call her a lecturer. She was like, ke na mufahlushi, I'm not your lecturer, ke mufahlushi. And she was very strict, you know. And some of us also, we came from, you know, like the deep roots of Malam Lele, we had to learn how to speak sipedi as well, because I didn't even know how to speak. And I remember one day I got frustrated in a story while covering a story at Giant Stadium. And then those, you know, old ladies that we were interviewing, they didn't really want to speak English. They wanted to speak their mother tongue. And it was really difficult to ask those questions. And I had to, like, you know, crack myself and just, like, try to find something within me to get the story done. But, yeah, nonetheless, here we are. I can interview anyone right now. You know, how do you stay updated, you know, with the constantly changing social media algorithms and, you know, social media trends?
I think one, you have to do research, and as much as we are all in social media, but we're not experts, and you need to really have, that's the difference, you know, you need to have the passion, the drive for it, and be able to move with times, you know, and keeping track of that. I mean, for example, I'm not on TikTok, and I did that decision deliberate, and I'll tell you why. Is because there was a time, of course, I also, I mean, took some break and did some PR. And I was talking to a good friend of mine, Nappy, sitting next to me. And I was saying, the reason why I decided not to sign up on TikTok then was on the basis because wearing my journalism hat, I would end up signing up on TikTok and following only news platforms. And then I allowed myself to study the platform away. My wife is on TikTok, my kids through my on TikTok. And I then got sentiment from her. Oh, she's on TikTok for fun. And then I have another friend who's on TikTok for business. And my findings were as follows. Instagram, you decide how you want to be seen. You sell your product. Twitter, I often say, and please, baskang better, but bo bako Muhammad's cry. But bako so Twitter has different type of people. You have people who take Twitter from a professional point of view, from if you're a politician, if you're a DJ, if you are you're running a business. Take Twitter like life.
Okay.
You are going to work. Whether I drive or out driving, your mandate is to go to work. Then it's like kreya babang ba baploma kukoneng. Baspana baspani, and they will always say negative things about you because maybe you're focused, you're going to school, you're going to work. You classify Twitter in that category, meaning they don't know you, but they can say anything about you. Right? And then you go to Facebook. Facebook, those are your friends. Meaning, even if you post a photo that shows something, maybe something in your nose, they can quickly DM you, but I'm quotes, delete that photo. Whereas go to Twitter, they will make fun of that. Now, where I'm heading to is to say, when you go to TikTok, why is TikTok big as it is? It's simply because there's no color, there's no race, there's no age. You create your own content and there are no rules. You get what I'm saying? So hence you're finding TikTok growing. So what's very important, that now to answer a question, it's very important for me to, or for anyone, for to keep up with those trends. So now if I were to have a TikTok account, you would understand then that means I'll be speaking from a point of authority and more research based. So if maybe one brand product wants to advertise, go TikTok, I will then have a better understanding to say, actually, I know someone from Mabopane. What is it that they want you to say? And what language you should speak to them for you to resonate with them? And as I conclude on that, politically, as we are now in the elections, the lessons for these current politicians, even for the IEC, when they go to TikTok, there must be much research done that they need to do in terms of coming to voter education, using platform like TikTok, and also the content that they put. And it's a challenge that I pose to them. Thank you on that part.
Now, can you just share some of the strategies that you use to engage with your audience effectively?
I think one of those was when I managed the Zaziwa social media account, and I'm making that reference intentionally to move out journalism examples. So Zaziwa was a fairly new show, which had a lot of people loving it. And the production company that was producing it, that show, was Tabompilo Films, which produced the show like Jigama Jiga, of which I also had the opportunity to handle those social media accounts. And the effectiveness of that was creating content before the show and informing the people, this is what is coming up on the show. This is why you should watch the show. This is why this show, it matters. This is why this show needs you. And there was a moment whereby they had a spotlight chair where a celebrity would sit in there, would be asked questions. And I said, no, no. Besides having Pearl Modiedi being there, reading the questions, going forward, let's post the questions. Let's call to action. Let's ask social media users to send questions, and those questions, we read them on air. So I am so-and-so, Miriam from Hammanskraal, and I've sent a question to this particular show, and this show has managed to get this question, and they asked that that question on air. They asked that favorite celebrity. There's no way whereby I want to watch that show. I will watch it because there's that sense of engagement in between. So the effectiveness is that. And you can take it further in terms of OTTFM. Would, of course, I know it's opposition to this platform, but I'm making reference to it to say, even in on your show here at 20FM, you still ask for people to call you. You still ask people to tweet you in participation in Q20FM. So you realize that that's the effectiveness and that's the strategy that we have used in the past. But the question is, how do we move it forward?
Oh, wow.
Very informative.
Yeah, you know, today we are in class, a social media class, basically.
The lecturer.
Master class.
Master class.
But of course, I'm learning a lot from you as well. Please go ahead.
No, thank you. You know, we dealt with, you know, some of like, you know, feedback to controversial, you know, comments, you know, on various social media platforms. I think we can move to this now. What tools and, you know, analytics do you use to measure the success of your social media campaigns?
Yeah, so I mean, of course, agencies from a peer place, the return of investment, if you have a certain brand, a personality influencer to tweet about your product, you need to look into, I mean, the metrics in between. So, I mean, platforms like Hootsuite, Newsclip, they play a critical role in terms of assessing the measurement. You know, Hootsuite, Newsclip are in between. Of course, there are many that have been developed recently. But I always say, what is it that you're looking into? So, for example, in the elections now, if you want to look into the news organization, you want to look into the traction as to how far, I mean, we've just reached the 3 million mark in terms of the votes. How, and you want to communicate that to your audiences, how do you best track that? You know, Twitter does give you that opportunity of insight. Also, Facebook has that. Similar with TikTok and the like. So those are some of the platforms that you can explore and play around with to get that sentiment.
Yeah, no. So can you discuss a particularly successful social media campaign that you've managed and what made it to be successful?
Sure. Interesting. Moving away from journalism, let's wear the head of PR.
Yeah.
So we all know this product fault, and I hope you won't get into trouble for this episode. But we will write a letter to management. There's this King Kong. King Kong, umZulu. So King Kong umqombothi. We use King Kong when umqombothi. I think all of us know it, right? So King Kong is alcohol, right?
Yeah.
And you know that alcohol is not advertised on radio stations, if I'm not mistaken. You can't, you need to pay for that, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
But I was working for DNA Brand Architects, owned by Sylvester Chauke. And King Kong was one of our clients. And it was during Heritage Day. And the task that they gave us was as follows. You need to promote King Kong to the new generation. And what I had to do strategically was to get Apiwe, who's a brewmaster, and you search for that campaign online. Then I had to get there to go to different newsrooms to teach the modern Makotis how to make umqombothi. to teach the modern husbands how to make umqombothi. And we went to Soweto, we went to 702, we went to Kaya FM. She was teaching those individuals how to make umqombothi. But don't forget, the biggest goal was the biggest event that we're having on that particular weekend in Soweto. And we had to find the venue and we did it at Lebo Backpackers, sort of like a cultural place. Now, the build-up to that was KSRP were teaching modern Makotis how to do umqombothi. Strategically, those journalists ended up writing those stories. From a social media point of view, it created talkability because they were now educating the public in terms of sharing tips. And others, oh, actually, you know, there's a lobola ceremony taking place in this weekend. And now these are the tips that are helping, are actually being given online. And then subsequently to that, we won, I mean, I won the award with the colleagues, Campaign of the Year, where we were awarded Campaign of the Year because then that elevated Tiger brand, which was part of King Kong. So the story is, how do we then celebrate our culture, that diversity in the modern age?
Oh, amazing. So what advice would you give, you know, to someone aspiring to enter in the field of social media management? For news organizations, maybe, you know, for those who are starting, maybe they want to start at, you know, a local newspaper, a community newspaper that they have nearby. Maybe they'll try to volunteer to build, you know, their portfolio as well.
I think, let me start by saying, a great man who was my former boss when I took a short 2 minutes break from journalism and went to communications and PR, and that is Mr. Chauke. He said, when he started out in the agency world, he identified the company that he wants to work for and work with me. And I'm also bringing my colleague Nafe here, who's with me here. And then he had a pizza box. Picture this in your head. A pizza box. He put his CV, went to this company, got to the reception and said, "Hi, I'm Sylvester Chauke. I'm here to deliver a pizza to the CEO." And they're like, "Okay." They called the CEO office. And when they called the CEO's office, the CEO said, "Like, no, I didn't order pizza." And the CEO went down. And guess what? He took the pizza box. But when he opened the pizza box, he found Sylvester's CV. Right? So what I'm trying to say is, resilience, what you post on social media is your online CV. It's a reflection of who you are. These companies, these news organizations, before they hire you, before they even pick your CV, they check your name online. They do a quick Google search about how you behave, how you conduct yourself online before before they hire you. There's nothing wrong with you having a few drinks and posting online, but is the how and also which platform. So if it's Instagram, cool. But the point that I'm trying to make is that you must have that online presence that speaks to you and see yourself as a brand. You don't have to have a million followers on social media, but the little that you have, profile yourself and actually take yourself seriously for you to be employable and also start your own business, one would say.
Now, Sitembi, so gaining social media following can be very tricky. What strategies do you use to grow and retain your social media following?
Thank you so much for that. I have this Twitter account that I've recently recovered. Lindo Kutimnis is a good friend of mine. When I was at TUT, I used to tweet a lot about news. And that Twitter account, I'm going to leave it like that, is an archive. And I tweet about news. I was intentional. Even the one that I'm using now, which is Tole Express, Temso Media. I was clear that I want to promote news. I want to inform the people. I want to do my investigative journalism, expose whatever that I need to expose using that. And that set the tone in the number of the people that I'm attracted to follow. So consistency, being intentional, having a clear content, and diversifying yourself. Today in my platforms, I not only talk about news, I talk about, different shows, you know, that I watch, but it's the how you do it, it's how you project yourself. And also having that tone. It's very important, having a tone, a clear content plan, and having that vast audience that you want to attract. You know, the people that I interact with are news people. But I also find myself talking to the likes of Robert Marau, who was in the sports space. But because you are intentional, that this is the audience that I want to attract. So that's how you then grow your followers, one would say.
Sthembiso Job, ngiyabonga kakhulu. Thank you so much for making time for us here at Alumni Talk. We are running out of time. There's so many questions that we still wanted to ask you, but I think we'll have that opportunity soon. I will engage with you. I know there's a lot of projects that are involving the university that you're still doing. Right now, we are making way for POT. We're talking about Pitori Original Thursdays with Pro Day and Hoshihadi DJ. So they are coming up next. But right now, we're going to the news headlines.
Covering all sides of the story. This is Tshwane FM News.
Dealing with a few objections from the elections, the Economic Freedom